Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the Gospel of Mark, verse 18, it says, "While they were reclining at the table, and they were doing the Lord's Supper or Passover, what we now know as communion." It says they were reclining there at the table eating, and Jesus spoke. He said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Please tell me it's not me." He replied and he said, "It is one of the 12, the one who dips bread into the bowl with me." I want to read quickly from the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll start with verse 18. He said, "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this to fulfill the scripture, 'He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me.'" I want to pause here in this passage, and I want you to know that Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled here in this moment. There are several passages in the Old Testament. I want to refer to a couple. One is in Psalm 41, verse 9. It says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And I want you to know that David is writing this in reference, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in reference to one of his trusted advisors who betrayed him and went after and followed Absalom, who was trying to take the throne from David, naming himself king. And David writes that in the psalm. He says, "Even my close friend whom I'm trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." One of the significant things why he says, who ate my bread, there is this correlation between what happened with David, kind of foreshadowing what would happen with Christ the Savior. And this phrase of lifting up the heel against me and this phrase of eating the bread, understand, the heel, lifting up their heel against me was very much a military action, an action in war where you have injured your adversary and they are injured to the point where they really can't fight against you anymore, and they would place their heel upon their throat. And it's a statement that says, "You have injured me. I feel saddened. I feel hurt. I feel the betrayal. And you have raised up your heel against me as if to put it on my throat and to attempt to snuff me out." The significance of saying, you've ate bread with me. You have to understand, in Eastern culture, especially in biblical history, and even now, today, in parts of the Eastern world, eating bread together, sharing a meal together, wasn't just something, "Hey, let's go have a bite to eat." Sharing a meal together, it had great significance. It meant that you and I, whoever's sharing this meal together, we share a bond. We are building a bond. We have come into an agreement with one another. It's not just a hospitality. That's part of it, but it is building a bond. It's like the sealing of a contract. It was this intimacy that now we are going to share together. So the meal represented more than "let's just have a bite to eat." It is why you will see scriptures in the New and Old Testament that says, don't break bread with, a person who has, ungodly, or who has walked away from the body, or who is divisive. Don't even break bread with them. You'll find scriptures that talk a little bit about that. It's this eating together, this bread, is very significant. It was like we have shared together a bond. And now you, my faithful, loyal friend, has lifted your heel against me. It was this foreshadowing of what Christ was going to go through. Psalm 55, another clear prophecy of who we know as Judas and his betrayal. It says this, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it." In other words, we expect it from someone who opposes us and reproaches us. "Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from that person. But it is you, man, my equal, one I've shared with, my companion, my familiar friend, he who had sweet fellowship together with me, walked into the house of God amongst the throng of people with me. This is the one who has raised up violence against me. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawing swords." This prophecy and fulfillment of what Jesus is going through here at the Passover dinner. The fulfillment of Old Testament Zechariah, the last Old Testament year that I'm going to refer to in the fulfillment of this prophecy in Zechariah chapter 11, 12 and 13. It said, "I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages. But if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages." Does this sound familiar to you? 30 shekels of silver as my wages. "Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord." There's much familiarity here because we know that Judas, over 30 pieces of silver, betrayed the Lord. And he went back and threw it down, and then he went and bought a potter's field where he killed himself. All these details that the Lord just fits together. Another confirmation that Christ Jesus is truly the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. Another confirmation. This Eastern culture and this bond of intimacy, even in Psalm 23. Sorry, I said I wouldn't use Old Testament anymore, but this comes to my mind in Psalm 23, where he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy." The laws and the cultures and traditions of the land is you could be a stranger and be taken in by someone, and they would prepare a table before you and build a bond with you. And the one who was pursuing you could not enter their home and seize you. It was a refuge, a place of safety, because the host has taken you in. And here Jesus is hosting this Passover. I want to continue to read in the Gospel of John. "He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he." See? Old Testament being confirmed and proven in the New. Jesus telling them something very important as friends and says, "I'm telling you this now so that when it unfolds, you will know. You will know that I am He." Because they were not anticipating and expecting that Jesus would lay down His life, hang on a cross. After all they have seen him do and walk through a crowd with authority, and though they drove him to a cliff to throw him off, he could walk through such authority. They saw him heal. They saw him speak words of life. They saw the anointing upon him. And yet, when the crucifixion happens, the confusion of maybe it wasn't Maybe he wasn't the Christ. Jesus is telling them, let me assure you, I'm telling you this now, so that when it unfolds, you will know that I am he. He says, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. And after he has said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. He was troubled. Listen, Jesus isn't just going through the motions here that the Father gave him. He dearly loved his disciples. He was emotionally connected to them, spiritually connected. He loved them. He's about to give his life for them. He was troubled and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. Keep this in context. What we read that David wrote, this is someone who you have lived life with and spent time with and have shared together with, have built a bond together with, that is going to betray you, that is going to betray Jesus. It's not an enemy. It's not somebody who just hated him, who we would expect it, right? If you know someone dislikes you or hates you or whatever, you expect it. But one who is loyalty and someone you're connected to. Jesus, the disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciples whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. The one who Jesus loved, who is that? John. And it's not that he didn't love the others, it's just he was very close to John. Reclining next to him, Simon Peter motioned to this disciple, John, and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, John asks, Lord, who is it? Now, I want you to get the seating arrangements right here, okay? It's not necessarily like the painting you saw. But I want you to get the seating arrangement right. And we don't know where all the disciples sat, but I'm going to tell you this. At Passover and a host, there are seats of honor around this table. And one is on the right hand and one is on left, directly to the host. Now we know that John is reclining and leaning against Jesus at moments. And Peter communicates with John. So we know that Peter is not next to Jesus. But as we go on, you will find that Jesus takes and gives this bread to the disciple who will betray him. He is close to him. It would make very much sense. That's poor English. I was born in Wisconsin. It makes very much sense. It would make sense for Judas to be on the other side. Not only because he's within reach, but in the moment where Jesus takes this bread, this which is SOP, it's called the sop. And it's not actually soft bread. You and I think, you know, kind of sop, soppy, you know, soft. It is not. It is hard bread. And dips it. And the host would take this and give it to a guest of honor. Therefore, it makes sense and reason, if he didn't give it to John, who was in a seat of honor, that he would then give this to another guest who is in honor, which would probably mean that it would be at his side. And he gives this bread to Judas. His disciples stared at one another. We read that. And Jesus answers John, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. This sop, this honor, honoring a guest amongst yourselves. Put it in our context, you know, you may host a birthday party and you take time to acknowledge the person whose birthday it is. Sometimes around here it gets celebrated months early, surely. They had an 80th birthday party for her yesterday. And a wonderful time. But her birthday isn't actually until December 25th. But it was honoring her. It would be like that. It would be a focus point that though there are other honorable people and everyone who's close or family or friends or those you built upon, there's just an individual that you honor. And Jesus takes this and he gives it to Judas and honors him. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, the devil entered into him. And Jesus says, what you are about to do, do quickly. No one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. I want to share this with you before we take communion today. That Jesus was criticized many times about sharing a meal with tax collectors and sinners. Right? Because the meal, there was something about this bond and that we share together. What an indication of the grace of God and the mercy of God that the Son of God would break bread and look to build a bond with broken humanity. Here we are at the Last Supper. And Jesus puts in a seat of honor and gives the sop to a one who is going to betray him. What love, what mercy, what grace. Yeah, it was to fulfill Scripture. But Jesus was troubled. He felt it deeply. Listen, Judas, you know, he was walking with Jesus and the other disciples from village to village, listening to the teaching. He was included in ministering to others. He was who was sent out with another, and they did ministry, and they healed the sick, and even demons submitted to them, and they come back with this report. And Judas walked like this and was involved in Jesus' life and was around his brethren and you know, volunteering and in ministry. And he was the treasurer. He was the money keeper for the group and taking care of offerings and expenses and all of these things. And yet, though he was inundated with this in his life, he was not becoming like the others. Is it possible that you and I can come together, sing songs, volunteer, pray, be in God's presence, serve and even help each other, and yet along this lifestyle and being among the brethren, that we are not being transformed to the depths of who we are? Is it possible? We come to communion and it is a time where Paul writes us under the inspiration of the Spirit to evaluate ourselves, to take an inventory, so that we can come clean with God. Is it possible that we can come and go from brothers and sisters in Christ and do volunteer work and do help and serve in the kids or youth or seniors, helping and be a part even of evangelism and do these things? Yet we are not being transformed. They only become actions. It happened amongst the 12 who were in the flesh with Jesus. Is it possible that along the way of busyness and just getting familiar with church life, that we don't have a living, personal submission, intimacy with Christ? Is it possible that we are not becoming what we should be, that God intended as others around us might be? Listen, I'm not passing judgment on you and throwing condemnation your way or my way because I include myself in this. But I want to warn us that just because we're doing Christian stuff doesn't make us a Christian. I appreciate the openness and vulnerability of Kate and Marianne this morning when they brought us the report of Sojourner's Journey. You know, the whole, you heard it from both of them. Am I living out this Christianity when I'm not at Sojourner's? Did you get that? Are we living out who we are supposed to be outside of these walls, outside of church events? Is it who we are?
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.